Get out there and tell somebody about Jesus.
How's everybody doing today?
Come on, somebody. Nothing's sticking anymore. Well, can't work in my office today. It's flooded.
Man, there is just a good vibe happening today.
Podcast 81.
Podcast 81. Hot.
Yeah. You're hot. Coming hot.
I am hot.
I don't know what you're hot about, but we just sat down, and ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Luke, yeah, I mean, you can see it on his face right now. You guys can't see it because there's no camera, but if you could, you'd know he was hot.
I'm hot. I'm coming in hot.
What do you got? What are you hot about?
Well, okay, so every now and then, we get like negative comments on social media and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that before on the podcast.
Yeah, it's really not a big deal, honestly. I don't ever lose sleep over it. It doesn't ever put me in a bad mood. Some of them are so nasty, though, that I actually have to block the people.
Yeah.
Because if they ever were to, like, they'll just keep commenting on the next post and the next post and, like, just troll you to death. So, like, some of them, I'm telling you, some of them are terribly, terribly nasty.
Yeah.
You do lose a little sleep over it. You're like, oh, my God. Gosh, that's
right.
Intense. But just kind of block them, then delete the comment. Nobody knows.
Right.
Anyway, but this one's got me all hot. This one. I did this random Facebook post from one of Pastor Ross's message at our men's conference.
Yeah.
He came, he preached. He preached like three messages or preached twice or something like that.
Yeah.
One little like 50-second clip from his message, post it on YouTube. Instagram and Facebook, it just blows up on Facebook.
Yeah.
Blows up. Like 16,000 views, 744 shares, 63 comments. Oh, man, just like crazy, right? And the majority of the comments were negative.
Yeah.
Negative. Not nasty. I had to definitely blocked one person. This was one girl in particular. Man, you would not, I can't imagine being her friend or knowing her in real life because that was wild stuff, man. But then all the other comments are from Christians who are real upset about how Pastor Ross pronounced God's name Jehovah Sabaoth.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, Sabaoth, you know, it's translated, if I remember correctly, the God who has never seen a defeat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Jehovah, God, Sabaoth, who's never seen a defeat.
Right.
All my life, Pastor Aaron, we've sang Jehovah.
Yeah.
We've preached Jehovah. We've pronounced it Jehovah.
Yeah. I was taught Jehovah in Bible school.
Yeah.
When I was in the IMA, we were taking all these Bible classes.
Yep.
That's how they said it.
Oh, well, apparently, if you say the word Jehovah on Facebook, you're going to get corrected. There was no J pronunciation back then. Now, let me just say this. This is one of the reasons why it's so frustrating, is because who cares? All right. Then now I want to just pull a little bit more out of this.
Okay.
Just a little bit more. This is what you got to track with me here.
All right, I'm going with you.
Have you ever read old English literature like Beowulf?
Yeah.
Okay, like even going back to like, let's just say like Romeo and Juliet, whoever wrote that. What's that guy's name?
Shakespeare.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm like brain fog, like hardcore. Shakespeare, Beowulf, like these like old writers.
Right.
Like even like King James Version, which isn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Bible translation, right? There, you read a Beowulf book.
Yeah.
You don't even quite understand what he's saying. And that's English.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Language changes so fast.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like, now we're bussing.
Yeah, no cap, man.
No cap, right?
Say less, bro.
Sorry, dude. And I will say less. Language changes so fast.
Yeah.
So when I'm in Bible college, they start off, one of your first day in classes, if you're taking Greek or Hebrew, is we do not know how these things were were pronounced. Yeah. We are not teaching you how to pronounce these things, but we are going to teach you how to translate.
Right.
First day. First day.
Yeah.
That's because we have no clue how things were pronounced.
Yeah, we have no idea how things were pronounced like 4,000 years ago.
Dude, you have no idea how things were pronounced 700 years ago.
Right.
You don't. Really have no idea. Well, our entire comment section is like guys and girls freaking out about how there's no J pronunciation when you say Jehovah. It's Yahovah, Yahusha. It's like you people have no idea. You don't know.
Yeah.
You have no idea. And it's, to me, I'm like, it's like day one of school. I was taught we don't teach you pronunciation because that's not important.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? If I say the word Jesus, Jesus doesn't recognize that as his name.
Right.
And that's what they believe.
Yeah.
They actually do believe that. There's like this like rigid section of like Christianity where you're not even allowed through the doors of their church unless they test you before you even step foot on the side of the carpet. They're like, how do you say God's name? And if you say like Jesus, they're like, just get in your car and go home. There's no Jake. And then they punch you in the mouth and they send you on your way and stab your tires so you can't even drive off. Teach you, son. Spit in your face. Poison your food. No, his name's not Jesus. It's Yeshua.
Yeah.
There's no J. You just walk up to somebody like this and you start going, they're going to have a panic attack and have a seizure and fall on the ground and foam at the mouth because you're like, J. So, like, that's all over our Facebook page right now. I'm hot about it because people, like, make a religion out of this stuff, man.
Yeah.
And I'm taught day one.
Yeah.
Pronunciation doesn't matter.
And
translation matters.
You know what else is frustrating? Is that if these people on our Facebook page decided to spend the same amount of energy like getting the gospel message out to the world rather than correcting somebody's pronunciation of a Hebrew word
that
they don't even know how to pronounce.
They don't know how it was pronounced.
Then we'd probably see more people getting rich with the gospel.
Oh my gosh. It's frustrating. It makes me... I don't know where to let this, I don't know how to vent this anger. My audience is so small. You know what I'm saying? Like if I was on a dorm room right now at Oral Roberts University, well, we could go on for hours about laughing at these comments, right?
Oh,
all
yeah.
My theology, deep theological friends, super nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah. My gosh. So I'm hot today. Podcast 81.
Yeah. I can tell your face is like red. Like
it's frustrating.
You're frustrated.
And we don't respond back to these people?
No. That would be terrible.
You don't want to respond back.
No. You know what's funny about this? I think this is funny anyway. So I'm not on Facebook. I don't have like a personal Facebook account. But I just hopped over to Instagram and I was like, I wonder what, because that same post is on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder what is going on Instagram with this post. There's one comment from Pastor Ben Block. He used to work here. It's like praise hands.
Emoji of praise hands.
Emoji. That's the only comment.
Instagram is really tame. The two most aggressive platforms are that we are on.
Yeah.
Are YouTube and Facebook.
YouTube and Facebook.
The most aggressive platform though, hands down, is Twitter.
Oh yeah.
We're not even on Twitter anymore.
No. They put that new, what's that added feature on Twitter now?
I don't know.
Community notes?
Yes.
And
the community notes will correct people.
Yeah. It's so funny.
It is funny.
It's just to like watch people like watch a video or a comment somebody made and just watch the community notes just ride them. So it's hilarious. I think it's funny.
Biden got a community note on one of his Twitter posts. President Biden.
Which one?
I don't know. I just saw it. I was like, oh my gosh, that's gold.
Some people out there just trying to correct President Biden.
This is not even on topic, but of all social media platforms, I've completely deleted Twitter.
Okay.
It's just a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
I don't even have it on my phone anymore.
No.
I stopped posting to Twitter months ago, but I kept it on my phone just thinking to myself, like, I don't know, just keep it, check in on it,
yeah.
see what's happening with it. Oh, my gosh. It's a total dumpster fire. And now that it's 2024, an election year.
Yeah.
The most annoying people in all the world are political people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
It's – I just deleted it. I was like, get out of my face. Just get – leave me alone. And it turns out, Pastor Aaron, this is – it might be some news to some people out there. If you delete Twitter, oh, all of a sudden those people aren't in your face anymore. It's amazing.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Unbelievable. But you've got a great topic.
Yeah.
Today.
So let's get into this topic today because I'm excited to talk about this. This is something that I've been kind of meditating on lately, and the Lord has been speaking to me about as I'm reading His scripture. And I was getting ready. I don't know. Back in February, I was reading some scripture. I was actually prepping for our men's conference. And I was getting ready, reading some scripture, and I was reading that passage in Hebrews where it talks about how God calls us into indestructible life. And I was thinking about this idea of being called into indestructible. I was like, man, that's a crazy idea that God calls us into indestructible life.
Dude, what does that mean?
And then I started thinking about, I feel like the Lord just kind of started show me places in the scripture where His all-powerful nature was revealed. And He's revealed time and time again as the Lord Almighty.
Yes.
And like that was one of the names that the Israelites called Him in the Old Testament. And I'm reading through the – I know, I'm dropping the names of the Lord right now. Comment section is going to get lit up.
Don't say
if we
that.
Had a comment section.
Don't say the Hebrew name of Almighty. not in my presence.
And so like we see this all over the place. In the Old Testament, they called Him the Lord Almighty. And then in the New Testament, we see that Jesus comes to this earth, that He's – he lives this life. He gets put to death by the Romans, but then He kind of shows like what indestructible life is when He comes back from the dead.
Yes.
And then he doesn't die again. And I was actually listening to another podcast and they were like, you know, what's crazy is that all the other miracles that Jesus did, the people who, even like Lazarus, who got literally raised up from the dead, like Lazarus died again.
He died again.
And so, but Jesus didn't. Jesus died, was buried, came back from the grave, and then never died again, was ascended to the right hand of the Father. And now the Bible says we have access to the power of Christ. Jesus told us that in, if you read John like 13 to 17, Jesus tells us that. And
sorry, nobody knows about
what's this? I don't know who did that.
That was strange. We're in this room and somebody turned the lights off on us because I don't think they knew we were in here.
Yeah. I don't know. I can see the door. You can't see the door. I did not see anybody open the door. I just saw the door like closing a little bit when I looked over there.
You ever been in like a bathroom, like in the stall, nobody knows you're in there and they come in and they wash their hands and they turn the light off and they go? Off.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what just happened to us.
Yeah. But
oh my gosh. Sorry. It was such a drastic, weird thing. It really interrupted your thought process.
It did. I was trying to hold back laughter. I don't even know what I was saying now.
I don't even know either. You were talking about in John, how Jesus talks about his way.
Yeah. And He's going to send us the Holy Spirit, which is going to be our helper, our advocate. And we're going to have access to this indestructible life that we're called to.
Yeah.
And like I said, the Bible says that Jesus calls us into indestructible life.
Yes.
And so I was like, man, what does that mean? So I just wanted to talk about it on the podcast, maybe get your thoughts. And I started doing some research. What is indestructible? You know, what is...
Yeah, like Superman.
Yeah. Like, is there anything that's indestructible? And
I've done a little research on this too.
I found a list of things.
Wow, cool.
That marketers claim to be indestructible.
I wonder if some of my things are on there.
And it was really interesting.
Do you have that list in front of you?
I have it on my laptop. I'm sure I can find it on my phone, though.
Do you remember some of them, though?
I remember some of them. Yeah, absolutely. There was an old cell phone.
Like a Nokia or something?
Yeah, yeah, it was a Nokia. That's exactly what it was.
The Nokia brick?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yes. I thought you were going to say something so different, but that makes a lot of sense. Yes, you're right. They should just wrap everything in that Nokia brick, and it would be fine.
Yeah. So that was on the list. Let's see. A bulletproof suit. Apparently, like, that's a real thing. You can buy a bulletproof suit.
Wow.
It actually looked pretty good, too. I was like, man, I want a bulletproof suit. It looks real sharp.
Really? It looks good?
Yeah. Like I couldn't believe it.
Like a James
Bond?
Yeah,
like a James Bond suit. I was like, that looks awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Let's see. There was a certain dog toy that claimed to be indestructible.
I've bought those for my dog, and they're not.
Yeah, they're not indestructible.
They're not.
Tungsten ring. A solid tungsten ring was on the list.
Did they forge it in Mordor?
I don't know. My wedding ring is tungsten. It has a wood inlay, though, so I think that makes it weaker because they, like, hollowed out a big chunk in the middle and put some wood in it.
Yeah.
So mine would probably break, but apparently, like, a solid tungsten ring is supposed to be, like, indestructible. We're actually in April at Ignited. We're going to do a message series on the indestructible nature of God on Wednesday night. So if you're a teenager and listening, you're excited for that. And what we're going to do is every single week, we're actually going to buy some of these indestructible items.
Ooh.
And see if we can break them.
Will it break?
Yeah. And yes. It's going to be a lot of fun. you know what's another thing that was on there? Was these pair of safety glasses.
Really?
They're called Hercules glasses. I found them on Amazon. You can buy a 2-pack for $22. It's like there's no way these things are indestructible.
Are these like clear safety glasses?
They come in all different lenses. The 2-pack had like a black one, like black, dark, like sunglasses, and like, and then blue. And they claimed you could bend them, twist them, run them over with a truck, like, and they won't break.
Really?
I'm like, there's no way that you can create indestructible glasses for $11 a piece.
I watched this video a couple years ago, Pastor Aaron, and I've tried to find it again. And I tried one time really quickly and I couldn't find it. And then, like, people got disinterested in me trying to find it. And so we just gave up. But I want to find it again. It was this awesome video I watched. And it was a video that said, what will the world look like if all the people vanished? And time would then continue to move forward. What would happen to planet Earth?
Okay, that sounds interesting.
I know. So they described in awesome detail, if all the people vanished, what's the first thing that's just gonna break? Like we're talking like nuclear power plants.
Yeah.
They'll start to erupt or something like that.
Yeah.
And then cause devastation to the land and the different stuff. Then your pipes will burst in your house because of winter and these things will happen. And then the rust will start to settle in and all the metal and the wood will then rot. Certain animals will start to dominate areas. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
And then they said, this is exactly what the world will look like after 500 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 100,000 years.
Wow.
And it was awesome. It was like a 10-minute long video. And each time they were telling you what's going to happen next, you were like, that's awesome. Like, I don't know why. It's like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Did you know, and I learned this watching this video, that essentially the one item that will not be destroyed by nature is stone.
Yeah. Okay.
So a stone house.
Yeah.
The pyramids, for example.
Right.
In Cairo.
Yeah.
how long ago were they built and they still stand?
Right.
But like the everything else, though, just is gone in that area, right? Right. Stone just lasts. So if you build something out of stone, that's it, right? I mean, seriously, unless you take it down with your bare hands.
Yeah.
Nature ain't destroying it. It's not going away.
Yeah.
Then I started thinking about this, and I've preached this a little bit too. How many times is the word stone mentioned when it comes to Jesus and Christians?
Mm.
And is that an accident?
I don't think so.
Does Jesus know something? Because he created it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
He calls himself the cornerstone.
Yeah.
Then he calls us living stones.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Then he calls Peter the rock.
Yeah. Yeah. That and revelation is a rock that I will build my church on.
A rock. Well, it's not going away.
It's not going away. It's not moving.
Then he calls himself a stone that people are going to stumble over.
Yep.
I mean, the references are quite unbelievable. And the most important part of these references I had missed, which is what we're talking about right now, is the idea is that a rock, a stone, isn't going away. It's indestructible.
It's indestructible.
Who put them there? And they're not going anywhere. God.
God did. That's right.
That's crazy. Like, it's like your mind starts to realize, whoa, Jesus is like so smart in the way that he worded everything.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And I just pulled up this verse out of Hebrews chapter 7 to kind of give some context. And I love how the writer of Hebrews, we don't know exactly who wrote Hebrews. A lot of people have different ideas about it. Most contend it was Paul. I would actually tend to disagree that it's not Paul.
But I would pronounce his name all. But there was no P pronunciation.
Right. There's no P pronunciation 2,000 years ago.
2,000 years ago. Yeah. It was all.
It's all. All right. So maybe all wrote this book.
Thank you.
But we're not exactly sure. But the way that this book is written, I think Hebrews is one of my favorite New Testament epistles. It's so interesting to me. And the writer of Hebrews in chapter 7 is creating this argument for why Jesus is the best, which is a pretty awesome argument.
That's cool.
It's hard to debate it.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the priesthood of Jesus, which was to a Jewish audience really important. The priesthood, like that whole system, was very important to them. And he goes back to this guy way in the Old Testament called Melchizedek.
Yeah.
And he's talking about Melchizedek as a priest. And then watch what he says in Hebrews chapter 7. I'm going to start in verse 15. Verse 14. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses had said nothing about priests. So he's saying, right, Jesus' earthly lineage was from Judah, but priests didn't come from Judah. Priests came from Levi.
Yeah.
But now watch what he says this in verse 15. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has not become a priest on the basis of regulations as to his ancestry, but on a basis of his power of indestructible life.
Wow.
So he's saying, listen, Jesus' lineage coming from Judah, it was important because it kind of came through the line of the King David. He says, so that was important for his kingship, but when in regards to his priesthood, in regards to the one who made intercession between me and you, the one who has access to the throne room of God and can give us access to the power of the Lord Almighty.
Yeah.
He says, in regards to that, his lineage didn't matter. What mattered is that he came with indestructible life.
Yes.
And he proved it when he came back from the dead. He proved it by healing all these people and then claiming, I'm going to be put to death and I'm going to be buried for 3 days. And then I'm going to come back and you guys are going to see this indestructible life. And that, I mean, that's not exactly what he said word for word. You can go read it in, well, what, Matthew 18, Mark 8. Like, it's all over in the Gospels. He says that.
Oh, yeah.
But this idea that Jesus has indestructible, like, he is indestructible life. And what's so cool to me, Pastor Luke, is that because Jesus demonstrated indestructible life, and then he promised that the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, equal part God, is going to come and indwell us, we have access to that indestructible life.
Yeah.
We, like, that concept blows my mind. And I think that if we could, as I've begun to study this out and try to grasp this idea, I feel like I've become even more bold with my faith and like just living in confidence.
Yes.
Knowing that, man, I'm coming back from the dead. Like, I have the power of Jesus inside of me. I'm a part of the winning kingdom every time. And I get to be a part of an indestructible life.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's been firing me up for like 3 weeks. And I wanted to talk about it.
There's a great worship song written by, I think it was written by Hillsong, I forget who. But it goes like this: the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in me. And then there's another song too that's really good that Hillsong wrote. It's a little different melody to it, but essentially it's the same thing. It's like, there is the same power.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit power.
Yeah.
That rose Jesus from the dead.
Yeah.
His indestructible power from within. That's in us.
Yeah.
Because he sent the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And then we welcome the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Holy Spirit must mean a lot to Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, a lot, because Jesus is like, hey, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that's unforgivable.
Yeah.
It's like, don't mess with my best friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what it feels like, right?
Yeah.
It's like, don't say a negative word about the better part of me.
Right.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Don't say a negative word about it. And welcome it. Embrace it. It's this indestructible power that longs to indwell within us.
Mm-hmm.
And that, welcome that, invite that in, honor that, pray to that, get that prayer language.
Yeah.
Get that in you.
Yeah,
that's
come on.
What we're all about. When you really start to get a hold of the Holy Spirit, you get courage.
Oh, absolutely. Come on.
You do. You get courage. It's one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Is he brings you courage.
Yeah.
He puts inside of you something that wasn't there before, courage, right?
Yeah.
We're not really born with it. And then you're able to face the giants. You're able to face the lion's den. You're able to do all these things.
Yeah. Come on.
And that's the indestructible power that Jesus wants us to have.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to he's like, I know this guy. He's awesome. He's about to come. You know what I'm saying? He's like, that's what he's trying to tell his disciples before he ascends. He's like, listen, I know this guy. He's so cool, man. He's like me, but like different, and like he's got different, better sides. And just, he's like, I got to go because he's got to come.
Like, yeah, so I'm going to go and he's going to come.
And he means so much to me that if you say a bad word about him, I'm sorry, you're kicked out.
Yeah.
Like, for good. Like, you know, it's kind of what he's saying. Like, it's so, and he must... Jesus must be so excited. He's like, I got to go because this guy's got to come.
Right.
It's better that I go.
Yeah, he said it's better that I go.
And this is how I really describe the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's like that thing. I call it the thing because it's hard to explain. But like when you're like feeling alone, you just pause and say, are you there, God?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you feel this like this rush of like love and warmth and courage. Yes, that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's this amazing Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's that indestructible power that's going to rise us up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I was talking with a teenager on Wednesday, and we were talking about prayer. And I was asking her, I said, has prayer ever impacted your life before? And she said, oh, yes, absolutely. And she said, you know, I feel like there's been moments in my life where I've struggled to be alone, or I felt alone. I just struggle with loneliness, just that feeling of nobody really cares, nobody's with me. And she said, I've learned through prayer how to connect with God and realized as I've prayed that He is always with me. That's indestructible life.
Yes.
That's the power that when it feels like everybody else is gone, you got somebody who's still on your side, and He's better than 100 friends.
Yeah.
He's better than...
Sticks closer than a brother.
He sticks closer than a brother.
Proverbs 18:24.
That's right. He's better than a million followers and that blue check on Instagram.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, He is always with you and will never leave you or forsake you. That's what indestructible life's about.
He's better than Twitter. Or full circle.
Bringing it back.
Ah, it's been a good podcast. Thanks for bringing this topic to the table, my friend.
Absolutely.
We've got an announcement to make. We're in the process of setting up video.
That's right.
We used to do video.
Yeah.
We're reformatting. We're retooling.
That's right.
We are turning our recording studio into a place where we can do video now.
Yep.
That's in process. So it's very possible that either next week's podcast or the week after that will be the first one with video again.
That's right.
So keep your eyes open for that, Pastor Aaron.
Oh, I'm excited about it. It's going to be really good.
I hope it turns out fantastic. I hope you guys like it. Just so you know, the video will go up on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we've got Ignited has a YouTube page.
Yep.
And we'll probably post it to that one.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring. That's what we were going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds fantastic.
It's going to be awesome.
All right,
man. Don't forget, you can send in your questions. We're going to try to do a once a month mailbag.
Yep.
So you can always send in your questions to either myself or Pastor Lucas, Aaron@ignited.org or
Lucas@ignited.org.
Send us your questions there. Hope you guys have a great day.
All right, everybody. Bye. Get out there and tell somebody about Jesus.
How's everybody doing today?
Come on, somebody. Nothing's sticking anymore. Well, can't work them off today. It's flooded.
Man, there is just a good vibe happening today.